is it. We are going to start a series tonight called The Next Time I Fall in Love. It's right on the top of your handout there. Some of you guys might remember 2 years ago when we did this study. Do you guys remember that? Anybody remember when we did The Next Time I Fall in Love? Anybody? Anybody? Alyssa? So this is the only series that we repeat, that you will ever hear repeated. And the reason why we do it is that, for one, relationships are important in life. Relationships are important to you guys now. They'll become important to you in college and later on in life. And the dating, engagement, marital relationship is going to be the most important relationship you have on this earth. And frankly, the world is just screwed up about relationships. They don't understand the truth about relationships. They don't understand how we were made to function in relationships, especially guy-girl relationships. And all you guys get exposed to on TV, magazines, movies, friends you have is worldly relationships that don't reflect God's perspective on it at all. And so, from my perspective, this is one of the most important series we do because likely every single one of you will date, be engaged one day, and be married one day. Not 100% sure that that's going to happen, but statistics would show that likely you guys will be married one day. If you have the gift of singleness, awesome. But most of you will be married. And so we want to talk through that. Tonight we are going to do a little introduction to the series. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. So let's pray and we'll get into our study tonight. God, just excited about the series, about going through it again. I just pray that you'd help give us a new perspective on what relationships are to be about. I pray that as we start to look at your truth, that some of the lies that are just perpetually thrown at us will just start to melt away as they come into the light of your truth. And that we would start to make decisions based on what your word says and not on what other people tell us or what other people show us, but that we would start to get prepared for a relationship that is a reflection of who you are and reflects Christ-like behavior. I just pray that if there are things that need to change with us, and that might just be perspectives, but that also might be decisions that we're making, decisions we have made. I pray that you'd help give us the strength to make the decisions we need to make so that our lives are honoring to you in this area of relationships. I pray this all in your name. Amen. I'm just going to remind you guys, I don't say this much anymore, but some of you guys are missing a lot because you got things going on, sports and things like that. All of the teaching times are online at youth.clfchurch.com. Please go there. I'm going to say, especially for this series, if you're going to miss part of the series, please go and listen to those messages. The handouts are uploaded there. And because I really, really, really want you guys to get the stuff that God has to say for us. So, please do that. Open up to Ephesians chapter 5. the overhead blew up yesterday, and so we're not going to have anything on the screen. What's that? No. It needs to be fixed now, but no, it's dead. So we may be singing out of hymnals this Sunday, which I'm excited about. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Let me just say this before we get into this. I realize that most of you guys are not in relationships, you might wonder, why are we studying this if I'm not in a relationship? The best time to study this stuff is when you're not in a relationship, because when you get into a relationship, a lot of times there you start to fall hard for someone, and you stop thinking clearly, and it's hard to make the decisions that you need to make once you're in a relationship. So it's better for us to have right thinking about this before we enter into a relationship. And actually, a lot of what we'll talk about is are we prepared? Are you prepared to be in a dating relationship? So let's start with this Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. It says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." The context of this passage that we're looking at here is Paul starts in the beginning of chapter 5, and he talks about the fact that we are light. It's a great passage about identity, that we have been changed, we've been transformed. We were in darkness, now we are in light, and God has actually made us light in this world. Now, whether you act that way or not, you have been transformed into light. And so he says, because you're light, be light, act like light, and don't act like the world, don't act like the darkness, don't live like the darkness. And then, so it leads up to this verse 15, and he says, so be careful. Be careful then how you live, because you want to live as light. You don't want to live as darkness. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Not as, really the words there, they're just nice. He's saying not as dumb, don't be dumb about how you live your life, but be smart about how you live your life. And how do you do that? He goes on in verse 16, he says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. He says, don't live as unwise, but live as wise. And how you do that is, you make the most of your time. Make the most of every opportunity. You have limited time here. I know that's hard to have a perspective of that. At your age, at my age, it's hard to have a perspective that our time is limited here. But our time is. And so we need to live each day making the most of every opportunity and living well, living life to its fullest. That's what we've been made for. Maybe you don't understand that. So a lot of times I think we get the perspective as Christians that somehow we live a diminished life because we're restricted in some ways. But really, the life that we've been called to live is the life that God created us for. And we are truly the only ones who can live life to the fullest it can be lived. And so he says, make the most of every opportunity that you have. Live life to its fullest. Live life well, because the days are evil. And he says, therefore, verse 17, therefore. So because of that, understanding that, live well. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be a fool. Do not go to friends. Do not go to the world. Do not look at what the world is doing and get your information from them, but instead understand what the Lord's will is. And if we apply that to relationships, which is what we're talking about now, don't look to how your friends have relationships. Don't look to how people at your school have relationships. Don't even necessarily look to adults for how they have relationships. Because honestly, a lot of relationships don't operate in God's truth. Don't look elsewhere. Don't be foolish. But instead, go to God for the answers. That book you guys have in front of you is the only place where you can find the facts of life that are 100% without question true. It would be foolish. It would be idiotic to go anywhere but to God for the answers on how to have a relationship, how to date. And then he says this. This is God's will for us, and this is God's will for us in relationships. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which just means it leads to a waste. It's actually the word dissipation, which is like when, I don't know if you've ever seen a lake that has, like, when it gets warm, it has almost steam rising from it. That's the water dissipating. You guys know the word dissipation. It's something that's just starting to dissolve into nothing. He says, don't get drunk on wine, because that leads to a life that just kind of dissolves. It doesn't last. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the word filled there is actually the word fulfilled. It's the idea of being filled completely, fully, without a drop more being able to be added. I'm going to use this example here of this cup. It's like this cup is currently unfulfilled. Okay, I know we don't usually refer to it as that, but in the Greek sense, in the way that they use this word, they would say this cup is unfulfilled. Okay, and as you fill this cup, this cup is starting to become filled, right? Fulfilled means that the cup is so full that it could not take another drop. You guys tell me when you think it's done. Think it's done? Oh, that's so cool. Have you guys ever studied surface tension? I'm such a nerd. Do you see how the water is above the lip of the glass? That's awesome. With what? Oh, really? I just think God made a cool world that makes the water do that. But so that water is, that cup is fulfilled, right? Fully filled, probably could not get another drop in there, maybe a tiny little drop. But that cup is completely filled, couldn't add a single thing to it. And that's actually what this is saying, that we are to be completely fulfilled by the Spirit, by God. That in every way, we get everything that we need from God. It's like the idea that we have a hole in our hearts, okay? We have like an emptiness, and we do. Every human has an emptiness. And so many people are trying to fill that void, that emptiness with things. The example he gives here is getting drunk. And people, you guys know, our world, there are bars on every corner. People are getting drunk all the time, because there's something about that experience that sort of, as they're trying to fulfill themselves, it sort of gives them some sort of satisfaction and ease and helps them forget their troubles. But it dissipates. It's dissipation. It just dissolves. It doesn't last. That's not a lasting fulfillment. And I think probably, people try to fulfill with their lives with money, with and not necessarily with even getting rich, but most people want the American dream. Just give me a house and a picket fence and a wife that loves me, or a husband that loves me, and two kids and two dogs and a cat. And that's really when I'll be fulfilled. But the reality is, it doesn't fulfill. It's a fantasy. And regardless of what movies will tell you, you know, every love story ends with fulfillment at the end. That's not fulfillment. Do you ever wonder? I've wondered, but I know the answer to this. Every romantic movie is about the start of a relationship. There's hardly a movie out there that is about a relationship that's 20 years in. Why? It's because we have this dream that somehow when a relationship blossoms and starts, that somehow there's some fulfillment there. Because the reality is that most people, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, they are not fulfilled with their relationships. That's why divorces happen all the time, because they're looking for fulfillment in that other person. They're not finding it. Yeah, for a while, it seems like they're everything that you need, but it dissipates. It dissolves. It doesn't last. There's not lasting fulfillment there. And I always think of, how many of you guys have seen Jerry Maguire? Have you guys seen Jerry Maguire? Man, I need to update my references. Do you guys know the movie Jerry Maguire? Seriously? When did that come out? Jerry Maguire. That was like late 90s, right? Okay, so Jerry Maguire, you know, big romantic movie. Late 90s, it was like the romantic movie, okay? Has Tom Cruise. At least you guys know who Tom Cruise is, right? And Renee Zellweger. Anyway, so the key pivotal moment in that whole movie is that Renee Zellweger's character, whatever her name is, she's hanging out with her girls, and her and her boyfriend just had a big fight, and basically it's over, you know. And that's what everyone thinks, that it's over. And so she's hanging out with her girlfriends, and in comes Tom Cruise's character, and he comes in and he gives her this big, long speech. Okay, and at the end of the speech, the key line is, he says, "You complete me." And everybody's like, that's what I want. I want a relationship like that where some guy is going to say, "You complete me. Oh, I'm finally fulfilled. It's everything that I need." The reality is, the hole's still there. Because as much as someone may want to complete you, as much as someone may even try to fulfill you, they just can't. Relationships can't do that. The only way that we can truly be fulfilled is by God. And honestly, until we find our fulfillment in God alone, that we go, "You know what, God, you are everything that I need. I don't need another drop. I don't need anything. My cup could not get fuller than it is." Until we're ready to say that, we're not ready for a relationship. Because that person will always be looking to that person to fulfill us in some way. And relationships were never meant to be that way. People were never meant to fulfill you. We need to find our fulfillment in God alone. Turn over to Psalm 37. While you're flipping there, I will say this too. This is just kind of a side note, but honestly, until you're fulfilled completely by God, when you're fulfilled completely by God, it actually frees you to love that other person the way they should be loved. Because you're not being a needy person for them. You're not someone who needs things from them. You're someone who's ready to serve, which is really what our role is in a relationship, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. Psalm 37, starting in verse 4, says this. It says, "Take delight in the Lord. Take delight in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust in him, and he will do this." See, we get it backwards. We go after the desires of our heart. We spend our lives, the world spends their lives, and we do it too a lot, seeking the desires of our heart to meet our needs. And God says it's the opposite. Look to him, take delight in him, get everything that you need from him, make him first, And all that other stuff, he'll take care of. He'll actually give you more than you could dream if you just seek him with all your heart. If you commit your way to the Lord, which means your life, that's what it means. To commit your life, the path you're going to take in life, to commit that to him completely. Not to someone else. And you know what? When you do that, he'll give you that relationship. If that's what's best for you, he'll give you the best possible person. That person who is exactly what you need, what's best for you. But don't seek after that. Don't live for that. Don't commit your life for that. Commit your life for him, and he'll take care of that. We don't have to worry about that. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The context for this passage is is things that we need. There were some people that were concerned about food and shelter and money, and they were going, "I don't have a thing, and I don't know if I don't focus on work and I don't focus on providing and I don't focus on all this stuff, I need to focus my life on this stuff because it's the only way that I'm going to survive. I need these things. I need money. I need food. I need shelter." And lots of people would say, "I need love. I need to have another person in my life who loves me completely. I need that." And Jesus says, "Yeah, I know. I know that you have needs. I understand that. I get it. But focus your attention on me. Focus your life on me. Seek me first above everything else. And then he promises something to us. And this is a promise. Understand, he's clearly saying this will happen. If you seek him first with everything that you are, then you know what? All these other things, he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. And you honestly may go, "You know what? I know the exact right person for me. So God, if I pursue you with my life and I give everything to you, you're going to give me that person, right?" And God's going, "You know what? He might not be the best person for you, but I know who is. I'll work it out. Don't stress out about it. Relax. Seek me with everything you are, and he'll take care of the rest." The point is, make God number one, and he'll take care of the rest. As you guys are evaluating this, I want you guys to not only be evaluating this for yourself and being reminded of these things, these truths, but as you, maybe you're in a dating relationship, or you would like to be in a dating relationship, or you really like this person who doesn't even know you exist, ask yourself, are these things true for that person? Is the person that you would just love nothing more than to go out on a Friday night and go watch Sherlock Holmes with? I heard it's really good. I want to see it. Is that person finding their fulfillment in God alone? Does that person seem like someone who's got their cup full, doesn't need any more? Is that person someone who puts God number one in their life? Because whether you believe it or not, that's the kind of person that is best for you. Paragraph down there at the bottom just says, "Trust that God knows what's best for you. Don't settle for something or someone that's not what God has planned for you." Guys, as you start to date, this is going to be so easy. Because it's so easy to settle on someone that you go, "At least they like me. At least they want to have a relationship with me. Don't settle. God has a great plan for you. Seek Him with everything that you are. And let Him take care of that. That's his job, not yours. Questions down there at the bottom. It says, what needs to change in your life to prepare you for a relationship? What needs to change? I'm not saying that you even need to pursue a relationship right now, but I'm saying when that comes, you need to be prepared. And what needs to change? And then what are three lessons that God is teaching you of or reminding you tonight? Go ahead and fill in at least one of those at the bottom. God, I just pray as we go to So What time that we would be open and honest about our thoughts and really where we're at with this, and that you'd help us to really make this practical in our lives, that you would help us to change maybe attitudes that we've had or perspectives that we've had, and that we would walk away tonight different because we've taken a look at what your word has to say. Pray this all in your name. Amen.